Stanley Kunix was in his 70s when he wrote the poem, The Layers. The poem talks about the complexity of our lives, the losses, the affections, the transformations. And even when Kunix reached his 90s, his late 90s, no less, he said he was still not done with his changes. He was always seeking truth and beauty that lay deep in the soul. And from there, he wrote his poetry. Now, I'm in the final stages of a move that spanned almost 2,500 miles, and it was much more complex than I could have imagined. And hearing Kunix say that he is still not done with changes well into his 90s, well, it scares me a little. I love change, but surely there must be a time in life that we settle down, that things become calm and still and, you know, just quiet. But if we are of the makeup that we are ever questing and ever curious, that we are ever open to transformation, we never really close that door to change. Now, my move began when I shipped my cat, Gracie, to a friend in North Carolina who is keeping her until I get settled. I could just imagine little Miss Gracie, who's at 15 pounds, not quite so little. I can imagine her running out the door and getting lost, or worse yet, getting trapped into a box or something that no doubt she was curious about. But with Gracie in a safe haven, the boxes began coming, along with friends and volunteers who loaded, taped, and labeled in what seemed like a never-ending process. As the stacks grew and the calls went out for fresh boxes and fresh volunteers, I couldn't help but think of our Unitarian Universalist, or our Unitarian ancestor, Henry David Thoreau, and his Walden Pond utopia where life was simple. Thoreau took pride in having few possessions and even fewer responsibilities. I can imagine Thoreau sitting in a chair by the pond, a cool breeze, the birds chirping in the trees, and the deer grazing by as he sits there with an open book or maybe pen and paper. With apologies to Thoreau, but also knowing some of his history, and knowing that he prided himself on his independence, I can't help but notice that he didn't have to lug a washer and dryer from home to the pond, to his new home. He didn't need Maytag at Walden. No, he simply took his laundry home once a week to Mom. Not bad. She fixed him dinner, too. But there I was with a maze of boxes filled with treasures and books. Lots and lots of books. Ministers come with lots of books. Media raid at the post office becomes your friend. But I totally failed the simplicity test of minimalization. Even though I felt some guilt for having so much, I went ahead and ordered a pod to load it all in. Now, a pod, if you don't know what it is, it's basically a big box, square, rectangular. You can get, they come in several sizes. But U-Haul brings it, drops it off in your driveway. You stuff it as full as you can. You pull the door down, hopefully. You lock it, and U-Haul comes and takes it away to your destination. Of course, one pod wouldn't do. I had to order another. And again, we stuffed it so full that it was amazing that the door could be pulled down. But even so, we had to leave several pieces of furniture behind. Now, in his poem, Kunix talks about treasures. He calls them affections. He also talks about losses. I don't believe he was talking about the furniture left behind, but of the memories of loved ones, jobs, places. He writes that his tribe of affections lay scattered. Kunix wonders how his heart will be reconciled as the rising wind stirs or stings his face with reality. But even so, he turns to wherever he needs to go with his will intact. And then a voice whispers, "Live in the layers, not in the litter." Loss is never easy. Saying goodbye is a difficult task. The Reverend Mark Morrison Reed wrote an advice essay, yes, an advice essay for ministers, on how to say goodbye to their congregations. The essay is required reading for Unitarian Universalist ministers, and it is aptly titled, "Running Through the Thistles." Ouch. Leaving is never without complexity or emotion. It is never without loss, even if it comes with great promise on the other side. After I said goodbyes and the pods were packed, I began the transformation of sifting through the gifts of a long ministry at my former congregation and in the community. Long miles through old growth forest that hugged the Pacific coast of Washington State, and down through the reservations and deserts of New Mexico, and then the long stretch of interstate highway where the only exits taken were for food, gas, and a quick overnight shelter. But the cool coastal breezes that blew in off the water and tickled the thick forest of the mountainous coast, all the way to the heat of the vast desert landscapes that were punctuated with cactus and long stretches of barbed wire fencing, they worked their magic over the days of travel. The tension in my shoulders lessened the further I got away from the details of moving and the sting of departure, allowing me to lift up the gifts I had been given through the years of connections, friendships, and opportunities. Now, there is an old saying, I don't know if you know it, I'm betting you do, that distance makes the heart grow fonder. You know that one? Now, I believe that distance, even the mileage distance of a cross-country drive, can make the mind a little more clear. The debris of detail, or in Kunix's words, the litter, is left behind in a deeper quest of meaning-making. Through the gifts of affections lost, treasures left behind, we are able to lift up the gifts as if we were polishing stones, the stones of lessons and love and transformation. Now, some of the stones might be rough and have hard edges, and others are already quite smooth and glimmering. But regardless of condition or even readiness, each offers fragments of holiness with which we build our lives. Haven't we all felt the sting of loss? Whether it be a loved one, a friend, or even a job. Have you ever had to move or move on? Have you? Have you noticed that if you live in the details or the litter of the past, that it is difficult to go forward? Have you noticed that? Kunix seems to suggest that if we soften our focus and live into the layers that undulate directly beneath the surface, we can live into those gifts. You don't become or linger too long in what was, for we can never go backward. Instead, We augment our own strengths and character with those experiences. Koenigs didn't stop there. He didn't end with a loss or a dive into the layers. His life had forward movement, even in his 90s. He looked ahead, knowing that there was more and that he was not done transforming his life or polishing the stones. Even though I moved a long way and I've collected many gifts through affections, treasures, and even losses, my journey continues to the present. There's no doubt that I am fully engaged and am thrust headlong into the future. Isn't that how change works? When we're lucky, as I was in this transition, we can catch our breath, but sometimes we can be swept up into the great flow and we can do nothing but be carried forward, not always winning points for grace or tact. Koenigs recognized his losses and was able to declare that every stone on the road of experience was precious. There's no lingering regret or misgivings. He has the audacity to be able to look back and appreciate the gifts for what they are. Gifts. Maybe that comes with the accumulations and patina of years. Even so, the elderly Koenigs says he is not done with change. He is ever open to the possibility of transformation. There's always, always opportunity. If we are curious, regardless of age or stage in life, there's always more, and sometimes lots more. We can all get lost in myriad distractions. My code word for interesting but unfruitful distractions is squirrel. You know, when you're in the middle of a sentence and something goes by or catches your attention and someone shouts, squirrel, squirrel. Yep. Suddenly your train of thought just floats away and hopefully you get it back. But if we're serious about building up our own character, we delve into the layers as if the sweet honey of wisdom was laced into the very fabric of existence and experience. I'm not always successful at living into those layers. There are so many squirrels. But I've tasted enough of the honey to whet my appetite for more. And here, in Columbus, in this congregation, I look forward to learning your names, meeting you, hearing your stories, and I want to know, have you tasted the honey found deep into the layers? What has transformed you? Now, I feel incredibly lucky to be in Columbus. Everything I have done, every experience I have had, has brought me to you, to this point in time. I will have many jobs here, but a big one is to build a bridge from all of my experience, all of my past, and bring it into the here and the now, to bring forward that wisdom and experience that might shed some light on how to move forward, knowing full well that new experiences lie in wait. Together, we will be transformed. In my few short days in Columbus, I've witnessed the awesome power and beauty of thunderstorms. I've been drenched in sudden downpours. I have delighted once again in lightning bugs and in the birds and the real squirrels that empty the bird feeders almost as quickly as I can fill them. I have rediscovered the joy of sitting in on a rocker and on the front porch and waving at neighbors as they go by and engaging in casual conversations if they choose to stop for a moment. Even the neighborhood cats seem to be taking me in stride, just now trusting me enough to come up for a pat on the head or a scratch behind the ear. Their boldness may or may not change when Gracie arrives. One of my joys, is unpacking yet another box, but also their furniture. When you unpack the box and you find the legs to a chair and you realize you're a few screws short. And you take one of them and you go down to Beachwald Hardware and you kind of go, I need some more of these. And the guy looks at us and, yeah, metric, size 6. Reaches into a drawer that's been reached into thousands of times before, and he pulls out 2 and says, here you go, ma'am. That's really awesome. What a treasure. What a treasure. I bet they could fix almost anything. And at this church, right here this week, I've seen the pleasure of faces lighting up when given a chance to relook at the everyday. The simple delight of trading tall bookcases for short and finally getting to the, you know, I've been thinking about that for a few years. And then smelling and seeing all the vegetables being chopped up by volunteers along with the chicken pieces being laid out on a very large pan for dinner that evening, all in a newly clean kitchen complete with a freshly waxed floor. All this happening down the hall from yet another group of volunteers who come in on Fridays and help print, fold stuff, proof, whatever order that takes, to get the orders of service ready for you on Sunday. This church bubbles with life. I can only hope that I will add to this vitality and vibrancy and health. As a minister, I see many opportunities to lead and to work, not only within these walls, but beyond. Goodness knows, there's more than a little chaos going on out there. Kunix might say the litter of distraction. My job, our job, is to listen to the deeper messages and find the gifts in the layers, knowing that sometimes we might need to bring the honey along with us. On this Sunday of new beginnings, it is so appropriate and such an honor to have celebrated Tucker as he formally adopts a new name. It's a perfect symbol of bridging the past with the future, marking a point in time that transforms us into a new way of being. Tucker, congratulations once again. In my own transition from Seattle to Columbus, from North Lake Congregation to First UU, I bring many gifts, but one in particular. Actually, it isn't my gift. I am only the conveyor. And while it symbolically is for all of you, it is especially for the youth. You see, when I told my former congregation about the conversation with the First UU youth group, the one where they asked 3 things of me: will you come see us? Will you talk with us? And most importantly, will you bring us cookies? The North Lake group heard that and they got very busy. They decided that cookies needed something to be served on. So the youth made a cookie plate. And I believe that In this landscape, the tree that is in the center is like a tree of life. And the river that is in the background is a bridge over water that flows from the Pacific right here to the central Midwest and Ohio. Now, on this plate that's designed for cookies, on the back, they wrote a blessing. They put a chalice in the center, and then they wrote, "May your heart be at peace as you go, Northlake 2017. And it is for the first UU Columbus youth. I promise. I promise to fulfill my duty of showing up, listening, and filling the plate with cookies. I am so glad to be here. I look forward to many years of living into the layers of ministry together. Who knows how we might be transformed? Blessed be. Amen. Mm-hmm.